Okay, so the game plan is to do this in I'm going to go through this Gemara. We know that, as Hashem, more or less, not every line of it necessarily, but more or less, we're going to go through this Gemara twice. We're going to go through this Gemara twice. You have to be patient. Okay, you have to be patient. I think it's worth it, but you have to be patient. The first time, yes? The first time we're going to go through it, we're just going to go through the Gemara so we know what it says. Okay? And then we're going to try, to the best of our ability, to a little bit try to go beneath the surface and see a little bit about what it means. Okay? But we need to first see what it says before we can attempt to see what it means. Beseder? That's the game plan. So we're going to do this and it's long, so you have to be a little patient, but as my 3-year-old says, Zamashiyesh. Okay. Amalei Kesar the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Okay, the emperor says, the Caesar literally says to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya is the Rabbi Yehoshua that we come across all over the place in the Mishnah and Gemara. The Rabbi Yehoshua is mentioned all over the place, the famous Rabbi Yehoshua who has kind of these one-sided confrontations from the other side, actually, with Ram Gamliel. I am familiar with the famous Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachot, when Rav Gamliel is deposed, and so on. That's the same Rabbi Yehoshua. Okay? So, he asked Rabbi Yehoshua, Nachash lekama me'aber umolid. Basically, what is the length of the term of pregnancy of the Nachash? Now, this is part, really, a continuation of the Gemara right above, where the Gemara expresses the opinion that the understanding of the based on the Psukim and Breshit, that the Nachash was cursed to have the longest pregnancy, and that is of 7 years. Okay, so if you want to see all the details of where they get that from and what that's about, that's the Gemara immediately preceding it. But in any case, we're going to start from here. So, he said, Amalei l'shev shanei, 7 years. Okay, so the Caesar says to him, Vasabe de be'atuna, or atina, arbe'inhu, ve'olid litlat, said, well, 1 second, but these wise men of de be'atuna, they bred snakes, and it gave birth after 3 years, not 7 years. Answers Rabbi Yehoshua, that's no proof. Hanu me'abre hava meikara. They were already in the middle of their pregnancy. Let me read that again because I read it incorrectly. Hanu me'abre hava meikara arba shnin. Okay, they were already pregnant for 4 years before this, before the beginning of this experiment. Okay, before the beginning of this experiment. Okay. So, the Caesar says to him, but 1 second, what do you mean? Baka mishamshe shimushe. But we see that they had relations, we saw that they mated, so how could you say that? So he says, no, it doesn't prove anything. Inu nami mishamshe ka adam. Okay. Said, no, just like human beings that engage in relationships even though they're already pregnant. That's very, very interesting, by the way, that line. Right, that line is a very interesting one. We should take note of it. And as Hashem will return to it, but the idea that this comparison is certainly a very interesting one. Okay.
I don't
know. I would say that that isn't really not the point of the Gemara.
What?
No, I'm saying like how the whole thing about the zoological or biological aspect is not really, I don't think, what the Gemara is really about. And I'm not so sure that it's meant to be taken literally. But whether or not it's meant to be taken literally, whether it's applicable today, I certainly don't know. I have no knowledge one way or the other. But that's certainly not what we're going to focus on. And in fact, throughout the Gemara, I think that one has to look at it, you know, as I said last time, we have to look at this as Mepharshim pointed out, as poetry and understand the deeper meaning. We'll get to that, Be'ez Hashem, when we go to our second time through the Gemara. We're still just in the beginning of our first tour. Okay, so we're just getting down the basic translation, just what it says. Okay. Says the Caesar to Rabbi Yoshua, Bachachime inhu. So what do you mean? But they are chachamim. They know what they're talking about. So says Rabbi Yoshua, anan chakiminan minayu. Okay, he says, we are wiser than them. We, meaning the chachamim, we, chachma Yisrael, we are wiser than them. So the Caesar says, if that's really true, ichachimat, if you're really wiser, then zil zvin, zachinhu rather, go and best them, be zocha against them, best them in argumentation, vaitinuli, and bring them to me. In other words, you should go and conquer them, you should go and best them, and bring them back to me. Okay? That's the challenge that the Caesar presented to Rabbi Yoshua. Okay? To Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. Okay, if anyone did not get this source book yet, who else? Yeah, okay, next. Okay, that's the first leg of the journey. Amale. So Rabbi Yoshua says to the Caesar, Kamahavu, how many of these wise men of Atuna are there? Okay, so he said, Sheet and Gavre, there are 60 of them, 60 men. Amale, Avadli Svinta, the Itba, Sheetin Bate, Bechobeta, Itba, Sheetin Bistrike. He said, I want you to provide for me a ship that contains 60 compartments, and in each compartment there should be 60, and there are different translations of this bistrike, but basically what it means is probably means something along the lines of some kind of a fancy or very comfortable type of seat. Maybe a couch, a small couch, something like that. Okay, whatever exactly, but some kind of literally a throne, but as meaning like a couch or something along those lines. Okay, so there should be 60 of them, 60 places to sit down in each of the 60 cabins in this compartment. They're in this ship. There are to be 60. Compartments, and each compartment is to have 60 like little couches. Okay, that's what he said I need in order to be able to do this. Okay, good. Let's continue. So Avadle, the Caesar provided such a boat for him. Kimata lahatam, when Rabbi Yeshua gets to the city. Al Beit Havcha, he goes to a butcher. Ashkechei lahu gavra to kapashet chiyuta. So he sees this man, butcher, whatever, who is I'm not positive the exact translation. I think it means that he is skinning animals, but either slaughtering or. Let's just see what the box says for a second, if I can read it, because the print is a little bit small for me. What does he say? Okay, in any case, he goes to his butcher, and what happens? Amale reishcha lizvune. Is your head for sale? Okay, can I buy your head?
Can I buy your head? The butcher, of course, thinks that he means what?
Animals.
Right, the head that he owns, meaning that the animal's head. Right? So there's this animal that this butcher has there that's dead, and he wants to, you know, and he's preparing it for the pieces of meat for sale, and he says, "Can I buy your head?" And he said, and Rabbi Shua asked if he can buy his head, and the butcher says, "Yes." Amalei b'kama. So he asked him for the price. Amalei b'palga d'zuza, half a zuz. Yahvlei, so Rabbi Shua gives him the half zuz. B'sof amalei ana resha d'chiyuta amrei lach. Amalei ibay. So resha d'chiyuta amrei lach. So amalei ibay tashvikach. So then say achbilei pitcha debei atuna. Okay, so basically what happens is that they have a discussion about which head Rabbi Yeshua had bought, right? And as Rabbi Yeshua says, "I asked for your head, and that's what you agreed to sell me. So I want your head." And the butcher, of course, said, "Well, that's not what I meant. I meant that I'm willing to sell you this head that I own, namely the head of this animal, right? This cow's head or whatever, not my head. I meant my head, meaning the head that I own, not the one that's attached to my shoulder." You know? So the Rabbi Yeshua says, "Well, one second, a deal's a deal. You know, I paid for it and everything, you accepted the payment, and the deal was reishcha, your head, so I want your head." So this came first. Rabbi Yeshua then says, "Listen, I'll tell you what. I'll let you off easy. If you want to just give me the head of the animal and not your own head, I'm willing to accept that. If you do something for me, you have to show me the entrance to the place where the chachamim of the house of Atuna dwell." Okay, you have to show me, you know, where they are. You have to show me their petach, their entrance. Amalei, so the butcher said to him, "Mistafina, I'm afraid to hold the machbe katile. If anyone shows the entrance, then they kill him." Okay, so Rabbi Shua said, "I have a solution. Amalei, dari kricha tekanya. Take a bundle of poles or beams or something like that. Beams, I think. But take a big bundle of sticks of, you know, and kimatid lahatam, when you get, so you carry it with you, when you get to where the entrance is, zakfa kimantaka mitpach, go and, you know, you'll go along carrying your bundle, right? When you get to the entrance, stand the sticks, the beams upright, as if you're just trying to, you know, take a break to rest for a moment, because you're schlepping all these boards and these beams, all these sticks, and you'll put it down for a moment straight up, and I'll know that that's where the entrance is. Okay? And no one will know, that you gave away their entrance, because you won't say anything, you won't point, you won't do anything. You'll just walk along like a person's carrying his bundle. You'll stop for a moment to rest by straining up the boards and putting it down for a second, and then you'll continue on, and I'll know that that's where the petach is.
The entrance to what?
The entrance to the location of the chachamim, to these wise men of Bei Atuna. The Chacham de Be'atuna? No.
Why are they
Chachamim?
Chachamim? Are they like magician Chachamim? Like, they're smart people.
Like sages.
It's a very important question. Who are they and what are they? That's the first question we're going to address when we go through the Gemara the second time. Okay? But first we're just translating. Okay. Everyone with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I think that he purposely tricked him.
Okay.
But that's just my reading of it. Certainly one could understand it differently. But I think that's the point. Okay. Azal Ashkach Dirabnai Mikavai Udravnai Mibrai. He found that there were two sets of guards. There were those who were outside and those who were inside. Okay? There were two rows, or two parameters of guards. Inner and outer ones. And Di'i chazu kara de'ayla katli luhu lebrai. Udinafka katli luhu gabai. So what happened? We have the two perimeters of guards, right? The chakime, debay, atuna, right, are located over here. We have the guards that are over here and that are over here, let's say. Okay? And what happens is that if they find, and in between, there is like this sand, right? Or sawdust or something along those lines. Something, you know, some sock, something that you could see footprints in. And if they found footprints, if they found footprints in the area in between the two that were going this way, let's say, right, that were headed in, then they would kill the outer guards. Okay, because clearly they let someone in, right, past the boundary. If, on the other hand, footprints were found going the other way, then they would kill the inner guards. Okay? The Seder? So what did Rabbi Yoshua do? And don't ask me how he did this at this point. We'll try to discuss a little bit later. And I'm not promising an answer, but we'll see. But what happens is that Rabbi Yoshua takes his sandals and turns them around. Okay? Ready? Listen carefully to what happens. So what does he do? Okay? Afcha. Afcha, right? Lahafoch. He turns around. Afcha l'sandle. Katle l'hu l'gabai. And so they kill the inner guards. Okay? Right?
Who's he? The butcher?
Okay, here. No, Rabbi Yoshua. No, the butcher is gone. Rabbi Yoshua goes and he takes his sandals and he wears them backwards. Okay? Ready? Okay? He wears them backwards.
He's so smart.
Okay? And he like, right, so here's the, let's say, the outer perimeter, right? So he quickly, he runs into there. What happens?
Yeah.
Right? So then they see that there are footprints going that way, which means that the inner guards get killed. Okay? Then he turns them around again. Okay? He turns them around again. And, yes, and... He basically ends up making footprints going the wrong way in both directions, such that... Okay, in the end, what happens? Right? Both sets of guards get killed, and he just walks in. Okay? That's the basic idea. Yes?
I just don't understand how he got past the guards to get into the sand.
Yeah, me neither.
It's a good question, and we will try to address that a little bit. Okay? It's not... Anyway, so this is what he does, okay? So... After the sound of Katli Lehu, Lekulu, the second he, again, they're different. I'm not getting involved in the nuances of the Girsals, and again, you can take if you want to see more accurately how, what it should say, you have to look in the Bach, and especially in the Shita of Kubetzet. Bechlal, you should just know in Kachim, throughout all Masada Kachim, right? It's very important. The Shita of Kubetzet in Kachim does something different, at least in part, than in the rest of, than other places in Shas. And that is that, like, the Shidim Kubetz is very important in terms of correcting mistakes in the Girsalt, etc. And in the Kachim, there's much the girsa is much more of an issue than the rest of Shas. I'm not saying that there is an issue in the rest of Shas, but especially in Kachim. In any case, the point is that I'm not making every correction. I'm just reading the Gemara as it is and explaining it as it should be, just to save time. The point is that, what does he do? He, in the end, all the guards are killed out. Okay? Azal Ashkach Yinuke Mila'el Sabe Milatachat. He goes inside of their chamber and he finds that the younger ones are sitting higher up and the older ones are sitting on the bottom. So Amar Iyavina Shlama Lahani Katlihani. Okay, Alahani Sabre Ananadifna Danan Kashinan Tve Vinhu Dardike. And there's again in both these lines that we just read, there are pieces missing, but it's clear what the intention is. The point is, they says, well, if I greet first the elders and the younger ones, I'm going to say, no, we're sitting in a more important position. We're more important. You should have said, given us shalom first. And if I go to the younger ones, so the older ones, I say, well, we're older. We should be greeted first. In the end, he just says one big hello to everybody, so that everyone can just, you know, decide for themselves who he's greeting first. And he gets away with it. Okay. So there he is. He says, so what he does is, Amar Shalma Lechu, he doesn't say, he doesn't greet any particular ones. He says, greetings to all of you. Amar Le Maya Viditech. What are you doing here? What are you about? Who are you? What are you about? So he said, Amar Lehu, Chakima de Yehudayana, I am the Chacham of the Jews. And ba'ina lemigmar chachma taminayich, I came to learn chachma from you people. Okay. So they said to him, ihachi nibaylach, let us ask you questions. Let us ask you questions. Which is a very interesting response. Right? And this is, by the way, these four words, I think may well be the key to the whole Gemara.
Four words.
Ihachi nibaylach. Okay? And please remind me to return to it at some point in the future. Okay? Okay? So, on the surface, it's a very strange thing to say, correct? Isn't it a strange thing to say? If he said, I came here to learn from you, so why do they say, okay, so we'll ask you questions? Right? Isn't that a strange response?
Why?
It's to be the opposite.
Yeah, but do you want like a commentary right now? Or like?
Not yet. Okay. I'm just posing the question. We'll return. Okay? Okay. So he says like this, fine, okay? Amar lehu, l'chayai, good, excellent. Izachitu rather li, if you best me, then kol deba'itu avidu bi, then you can do whatever you want to me. You can kill me, you can do whatever you want to me. Okay?
You want to stress with that?
So he said, v'i zachina lebechu, and if I win, then Ichlu gabai b'svinta, then you have to come and eat with me on that ship. Okay? To come and eat with me on my ship. So then they begin the discussion. That's, okay, we're ready now for the discussion. Yes, Jane?
I'm confused because how did they know it was a competition? Like, he came in saying, I want to learn from you, and then they, like, kind of understood that.
Right, that's part of those four words that we have to understand. It's a good question. Okay. Amalei, so the first thing that they say to him, now the Maharal points out that there are 10 questions, there are actually 10 tests of Rabbi Yeshua that then take place, okay? And we're going to now begin to see some of the discussion that goes back and forth. We have a series of riddles, essentially.
Can you have just a second?
Yes, sure.
Who's asking the questions?
So we'll see. Basically, they are asking things of Rabbi Yeshua.
Is that going to agadah tira, or does it actually happen?
Those are not necessarily contradictory possibilities. This is certainly an agadah. Oh. Certainly an agadah.
I don't understand Gemara terms, I guess.
And certainly an agadah, and it is And I have no doubt that let me this way. I'm
not quite old enough to tell you whether or not it actually happened. However,
what the Gemara says, and that certainly the Gemara is not merely trying to tell us a story that happened. Okay, that's for sure. Whether it's telling us something that really happened in some form or other, I don't know, and it's really not the most important thing in the world for me. But the Gemara is telling us some, you know, very important things. Okay. Okay. Amalei hukavra amalei. So they said to him, "Hahu gavra de azil bai itata. V'lo yavule. My chazile de azil hecha de madlumine." So they asked him, you know, does it make sense for a person who went someplace and he asked for a woman and they said, no, we're not going to give her to you. If you want to marry a certain woman and they refused, does it make sense for him to go and ask for a woman who's even of a higher nobility or a higher social economic standing? So, you know, how does it make sense? So, he answered by taking shakal sikhta, datsa litatai lo ail, li'ilai ail. So he took, I'm not sure exactly what he took. He took a stick or a knife, something like that. He took, let's see. Rashi help us. One second. Sikhta. Oh, Rashi tells us it's a kabilia. Okay, well, that's helpful. Okay. Anyhow, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether he took a stick or a knife or something along those lines. I'm not sure exactly what he took. And he stuck it into the wall in one place and it didn't go in. Okay. And then he tried sticking it in another place, and it did go in. Or maybe it was a nail. So I'm not sure exactly what. But then he took something, a spike, a nail, a knife, something, and he first tried putting it into the wall someplace where there was no hole, and it didn't go in. Then he put it higher up, right? Put it higher up, but there was a hole, so it did go in. So he said, "Amar Hainami Mitrami Bat Masle." So he said, you're not necessarily right. It's not, he said that it could be that the first one wasn't an appropriate match, and the second one, even though she was higher up, was an appropriate match, and therefore it does make sense. Okay, that's the first discussion. Next. Gavra de Ozif Vitarif Mai Chaza de Hadar Ozif Amle Gavra Azul La Agma Katul Kama Tuna Velo Matzi Bey. Okay, so the next case, he said, well, what about this? Person goes and he, it's one way of understanding this, he goes and there are different interpretations of this exactly, so it's a little bit confusing, but basically, one way of understanding is that person goes and lends money, and he's not paid back, and he has to go to court to get his money back, etc. Does it make sense that he goes and lends to somebody else? And Rabbi Yeshua gives him a mashal, a person who, yeah, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, because again, we're not going to spend too long on this line. But basically, the point is that he says that, no, it could be that the first person he lent to wasn't trustworthy, the second person was. It doesn't follow just because the first time wasn't successful, you shouldn't give to the second one. Okay, next. And we have a long way to go, so I'm streamlining a little bit. Okay, next. What's next? So then they said to him, pay careful attention to the next few words, Amru le emalan mile debadai. Tell us something that is fictitious, that's made up, that's a lie. Okay, tell us something of sheker. Okay? Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Hahu kudnita diyalda, bahabe talile pitka vikata be demasik bebe abba mea alpe zuze. There was this this mule, I believe it is, that gave birth and translate something along those lines, and it gave birth, and the baby had a note attached to it that was tied around it that said that it had a promissory note for 100,000 zuz. So they said to him, "Amrulei bekudnita miyalda, does a kudnita give birth? Can't have a child." So he answered them, "Amrulehu, hainihu milei dibidi dai." That's, well, you asked me to tell you something false, so that's why it's something false. Okay. Next. Yeah, you look confused.
This is a weird conversation.
Indeed. Okay. Next. Then they asked him, "Milcha kisarya b'may malchula." Here's one of the most famous lines that appears in other sources as well. If salt gets spoiled, what do you use to preserve it or to fix it up?
I use rice.
Salt doesn't go bad.
Ah, so he said, he said that the answer is, Amar lahu bisilta dikudnita. Okay, you take silta de kunita is, Rashi, yeah, the embryonic sac or something like that. The embryonic sac of the prey dove, it's a mule, something like that. So they said, he said, "What are you talking about? Mi'ika silta l'kudnita, right? It doesn't give birth, so what are you talking about?" So he answered them, "Milcha misare," right? Does salt go bad? Right, salt doesn't get spoiled, so it's a ridiculous question. So I gave you a ridiculous answer.
What's a ridiculous answer?
That you should take the fetus or something like that of this mule which doesn't give birth, right? Yeah, I don't pronounce the translation 1,000%, but I think it's close enough for our purposes. Okay, let's go on. Then they asked, "Bani lan beita ba'avira, build us a house in the air." Okay, build us a house in the air. Bavira da'alma, build us a house in space. Amar Shem, he said the name of God, and Talabim Rekila Ara, he was lifted up into the air. Amri Lahu Asiku Li Livne Batuna, and then I'll build it for you. In other words, fine, you want me to build this house for you in the air, so I'm ready. You just have to give me bring the bricks up, put all the equipment up in the air, and then I will build it for you. Okay. Okay. Next, Mitziata d'alma. Okay, this is a very important line. Mitziata, I think, is one of the most important lines in the Gemara, actually. Mitziata d'alma hecha. They asked him, where is the center of the world? Okay, where is the center of the world? And he, aww, so it says, Zakfa le'etzbate, he lifted up his finger, and he said, Amale hacha, over here. So Amale umiyemar, who says that that's where the middle is? How do you know? So he said to them, Ashle umashchu, Aitu ashle umashchu. Basically, he said to them, bring a measuring thing and measure it. Okay? In other words, he said, this is, he pointed and said, here's the center of the world. They said, how do you know that that's, how do we know that you're right? So he said, measure for yourselves and you'll see. Okay. Next they said to him, Itlan Bira Bedabra, we have a well in the middle of the desert, it's not doing us any good out there. right? It's out, you know, Aili Lamata, bring it into the city. As we want you to bring the well from where it is, bring it, you know, transport it into the city for us. Bring it into town for us. Amale, Afshili Chavle Mifare, Va'ile. He said, okay, make for me a rope of, forget what exactly, some kind of material they can't make a rope from. I don't remember at the moment, sorry. Who remembers? What is it? Yeah, from like it's like from grain or something like that, and it was like something you can't make a rope from, rice you can't, and he said, if you can make a rope for me like that, then I'll bring it for you. Okay, then they said, itlan rechya ditvira chayte, we have a mill, you know, we have Rechayim, you know, grindstone, right? We have a thing that you grind flour with, a mill, whatever you call it, and it's broken. We want you to sew it up for us. Because it's broken, we want you to sew it. So he said, no problem. Krochuli mine garde, okay? Ve'achtye. So he said, listen, all you have to do is to make threads from this mill, right? Take the stones and make threads from it, and then I will sew it together for you. Okay, everyone understand? No?
Yeah.
There are these, like, you know, millstones, grindstones, whatever, right? And they're broken. So they asked him to fix it by sewing it together. He said, I'll gladly sew it together for you. You just have to provide the thread, right? And the way you get the thread is, he said, like, similar to, if you have, at least they used to, if you had material, they pull out, like, pieces of thread from it and make it into thread to sew with. And he said, just do that from these stones, and then I'll sew it up for you. Okay? Okay. Good. Let's go to the next question. Then they asked him, Mishra de Sakine, if you have a furrow of knives, of swords, B'mai Katle, what do you cut it with? Really, what do you harvest it with? You have like a field of knives, and you have a furrow of knives, or swords, what do you cut it off with? What do you use to cut it off with? And his answer was, that you use a karna de chamra, you use the horn of a donkey. So they said to him, mi'ika karna lechamra, does a donkey have a horn? So he said, mi'ika mishra de sakine, is there such a thing as a furrow of swords? Okay, next. Okay, everyone got it? Yes, we understand? Okay, let's continue. Then they brought him two chicken eggs, and they said, Aitule Tre Be'e, brought two beitzim, two eggs, Amale, Hai Dizagta Uchmete, Vahai Dizagta Chiyorte, tell us which one came from a rooster that is, I think it's something like that, you know, which one was the rooster black, and which one was the rooster white? Okay. So what did he do? Aitu lahu ihu tre gvine. He brought two things of milk or cheese, some of like that. And he said, "Hai de iza uchmete, v'hai de iza chiyorte." Which one comes from a red goat, and which comes from a white one. Again, not passing all, more or less, something along those lines. Next they asked, Ritsutsa Demit.
That was 10.
What?
That was 10?
No, there's one
left. Okay. Ritsutsa Demit, Mehecha Nafik, okay, a chick that is inside of its shell. How does it get out? So he has to get out. So he answered, Mehecha da'al, the same way as it came, mehecha da'al, not, but the way it came in, it comes out. Okay. Then, I think that's a question of how you count them. Some of them go together, that's why. Okay. What are we up to? So he said, Ach Bilan, show us mana delo shave chavile. Show us an object that's not worth the damage that it causes. So Aite Budya, he brought a budya, a big mat. Pashte, he opened it, he opened it up wide. And Lohabe Ayel Bitara, it wouldn't go in the gate, it wouldn't fit through the door, right? A large mat. Okay, like of reeds. So he said, Aitu Mare. So Amar Lahu, Aitu Mare Satrua. Take, go and knock down the entrance, break through, make a bigger hole so you can bring it in. And he said, Hainu mana zlo shavu chavile. That's the example of an object that's not worth the harm it causes. Okay. Yeah, basically, he said, if you have this big mat that you can't get through the door, and you break down the door in order to bring it in, that's the object that's not worth the harm that it causes. Okay. We're almost at the end of the story. Aitinhu, he brought them to the ship. So he brought them, and each one, when they saw, he brought each one into a different room, and each time he brought one into the room, into the cabin, they saw that there were 60 cushions or sofas, whatever, 60 places to sit, and each one said, "Kulu chavrai lahacha atu," that all of my friends are coming to this cabin, because I see there are all together 60 seats. They must all be coming to this one. And each one ends up in their own compartment. Okay? So one by one, he brings each one into a cabin. Each cabin, they sit down and they think that the other 59 are going to join them, but they're each in their own cabin. Okay? They go back to the Caesar. Okay? And while he's going, Shakal Afra Me'afrai, he takes some of their dirt. Okay, we're now on Ted Amar Aleph. Kimatu lebei blie mala kuza demaya mibei blie. When they pass this whirlpool of water, he takes a little container of water from there. Okay. Karatu, when they get to the Caesar, Ukminu Kame Kesar, he brings these 60 wise men and he brings them before the Caesar. Chazinu Dehavamane, the Caesar sees that they're all looking a little bit schwach, right? They all look like, they're in bad shape because they're all seasick from the journey. So Amalei Hani Lav Ninu. So the Caesar says, "That's not them. I know. They're supposed to be these tough guys, and you're telling me that they're these people who look all washed out. These are the 60. These are the Chachmei Debei Tuna. Can't be." So Amalei having Lav Ninu. This not them. Shakol Me'afrayhu. Rabbi Yeshua took the dirt from their land. B'shada Alai. He sprinkles them with the dirt of their land, and when they, smell the dirt of their own land, they regain their confidence, and then they start Akshulapimalka, they start, giving the king a hard time. They start yelling at the king, Amalei called the Bayit Avid Bahu. So the Caesar says, do whatever you want to them. Okay? So Aitinhu Maya, the Aitmibeit Liye, he takes this water. This water, Shadinu b'tigda Amar Lahu Malu Lahu v'ezel Lahu Malu v'shadu be kamai kamai ubalu Lahu Malu adshamit ketfayu ubalu Lahu v'adzel. Basically, what happens is that he puts this in a container, the water in a container, and he, one by one, he puts them in there, and it swallows them all up, and all the 60 wise men are swallowed up by this water. By this water that swallows up all, that swallows up everything.
Is this the water
like
from the world?
Drowning or yeah. The world?
Okay.
Don't drink.
That's
the
story. Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
What?
A good, exactly, what?